This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, here we go. Right here in the shadow built by Steph inside Chase Center for our special day here at 95.7 The Game. We start counting you down right now to basketball on the radio. The Dubs need to get right game in Charlotte, and they'll get this thing started in just over an hour and a half. Of course, we'll have everything that we normally have. Warriors Live will get you all set and send you out to the arena at 3 o'clock right here on Willard and Dibs. But until then, got a feeling that they're obviously, we'll share a little bit about what was a very, very fun day here for all of us at 95.7 The Game. And those of you who are now back in your, this is the first thing I want to say,
James. Yeah.
For those of you who are now back in your car after being here inside the arena today, I just want to send out a very special thank you and how incredible it was to meet you. The vibes were absolutely, it's our favorite word in Bay Area sports
right,
this
vibes.
Year. The vibes were unbelievable. So to everybody that we met, Adam and Chris and the rest of you out there who I got to shake hands with and talk a little bit, you all were just a total breath of fresh air. I hope you had an absolute blast. I know that that we did, and just trust that that we're already starting our plans to do this again next year, because this was first-rate fun.
Yeah, super fun, and you know the listeners loved it, and like I said in the crossover, as much as the listeners and all of you out there enjoyed it and you want to be a part of it, I think that we as a station love it more. We
too
had
much.
You know, the whole station was basically out here, and
yep.
Everyone's you know dribbling and shooting and having fun and seeing each other, and it's great to meet all of the listeners who were lucky enough to qualify and get through. And I met the person who was the last qualifier. I talked to Ron in Richmond for a long time,
yep.
Who, you know, is a big-time fan. And so many of our listeners who, you know, you listen all the time to all the shows, and you've been listening since we started this thing, which is almost 14 years ago now.
Damn.
Since we launched this station. And it's just great to have that opportunity to meet people, the people who really keep you and I employed.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan in the city was down there.
Yeah.
I told him he better have a song about this event next
nice.
Time he calls
yeah.
in. So hopefully he's working on that. Get the creative juices flowing already. So all of that said, thank you to each and every one of you. Hope you had a good time. Those of you who are just listening in and maybe watching on YouTube, hope that was a whole lot of fun as well. Great day here at 95.7 The Game. With all of that said, one quick thing, and then another quick thing.
Okay.
The first thing is, shout out to sports teams. I have a message for you. Stop breaking news on a Saturday night. It's super annoying. I just think in the business we're in, don't do that. Don't do that. It doesn't give the world the chance to react accordingly. And obviously, I'm talking about Deebo Samuel. And I'll tell you exactly where I was. I was in a mall in Corte Madera.
Oh, wow.
And I got the notification from the Underdog app.
Were you you in the Village or were you in the town center?
I was at the Village.
Okay.
On this particular one. For those of you who speak Cordillera,
right?
You know which side of the freeway that
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
I was in the Village, getting the Starbucks, coming on out. My daughter's poking around Urban Outfitters or whatever, and I get the Underdog notification sensation. Mm. Debo Samuel traded to the Washington Commanders. And I got to tell
Cha-ching!
You, we knew it was coming.
Yep.
Of some sort. We knew the parting was coming. We have talked it out. We've all sort of said our opinions. It was still jarring.
Yeah.
It was very jarring to see in print. Debo Samuel joins the Commanders.
The finality. I wasn't really that jarred, but the fact that it had happened and now it's put out there and it's a fifth round pick and he's going to the Commanders, I did have that same kind of experience, which was like, yeah, we knew it was coming, but once you see it and it's Schefter and it's confirmed, blue check mark and the rest of it, it's like, okay, this is it.
Yep.
It's done.
Yep.
Now who's your wide receiver? Because Ayuk is out until, who knows? I'm guessing probably October 1st. Could be sooner.
He might not even be a Niner.
Exactly. We don't know. But who's your receiver? You got Jennings, and you got Pearsall, and you got Cowing, and that's not good enough.
That's
if you want to be a really good competitive team, and you look what Philly did with their two top receivers, they didn't even really need him in the Super Bowl, but you have him, and the Niners right now, no more Debo, and you hope McCaffrey comes back, and he's able to be McCaffrey again, but it just adds another question mark to this Niner team.
Well, I mean, look, it's a conversation for a different day. I would love to see Devontae Adams on the 49ers this year. I think it's complicated. There's a lot of financial aspects to that, but I think that he would love to either be a Niner or a Ram. I think he's leaving the Jets. I think the 49ers have a lot of draft capital, may not need to use it. We'll see if they just wait for him to be cut. But I would love to see Devontae Adams' presence in that locker room and his abilities on the field. But largely a different conversation for a different day. I just want to say this about the Debo Samuel situation. One of these is a compliment to the Niners, and one of them is not. Very much so. The compliment to the Niners is, look, when you make a mistake in life, get out of it as soon as possible. It's not going to be pretty, and this was not pretty. Debo Samuel for a fifth-round pick, when, let's be real, he's fetching you nowhere lower than a second if you did this last summer. This is not a good turnout for the 49ers. However, you ended up in this bucket. We all understand how you got here. And so once you're in this bucket, to get anything at all for Debo Samuel, to get a fifth rounder, which is a round where they've done very well in the past, to get a fifth rounder and admit the mistake and move on as quickly as possible, I think is the only way to handle this. The criticism, though, is, boy, you really messed last summer up. I want the Niners to hear that loud and clear. My God, you messed last summer up. So bad, especially in this position room. For you to dance with both of these receivers leading up to the draft with trade rumors, then hold both of them, then have Brandon Ayuk drag this whole thing through the offseason, then give him everything he wants, then take a beat, 3-2-1, his leg explodes, and you immediately start behind the scenes expressing regret and frustration for signing the deal in the first place. That's what I don't get. I just think the Niners really lacked courage last offseason because they were coming off of the Super Bowl, and they just did not want to upset the apple cart, and it really bit them in the you-know-what.
Well, they made a multitude of mistakes because there were trades that were out there for Brandon Ayuk, but they didn't pull the trigger on these trades, and Pittsburgh was hot after him repeatedly, and you didn't deal him, and so you ended up giving him more money than you would have if you would have signed him in March, and okay, fine. You brought in Ayuk, and you gave him big money, fine. You reworked Debo's deal to where you owe him a big bonus here in March, and you know, Debo had a little bit of a down year, the whole team did, and now you're going to move off of Debo. You have Ayuk, who got hurt, not your fault. You've got Debo, who you reworked his deal, so now you owe him a lot of money, and the dead cap is more than $30 million, and now you're going to trade him? And you and I talked about it last year, about this time, where most likely, this upcoming season, you weren't going to have both. So how do you want to do that? Well, you did it to me in, like you're saying, in completely the wrong way, because you're not going to have both, and you traded Debo and you got a fifth round pick back, and now you're paying Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year and he can't play.
Yeah.
So you screwed up both ends of it.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And so the offseason to me gets more fascinating on two fronts. Clearly the 49ers, when you hear John Lynch talk about cash flow and you watch them trade Debo Samuel for a fifth round pick and hear reports that they are listening to offers on Ayuk, the 49ers are ready to eat a few here. They're ready to take it on the chin as far as a reboot. However, all of this is happening alongside Brock Purdy negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's so challenging, I think. The biggest challenge for me for the 49ers this offseason is the fact that they're ready to eat some humble pie, they're ready to reboot, but they're also ready to stop losing deals. Because it looks like they definitely lost the Ayuk one, and they may have lost the Bosa one as well, and they don't want to keep losing deals. And then, poof, now here's your quarterback.
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose the deal, but let me tell you something right now, I'd rather lose the deal than have this last all summer long and have everybody arguing again when it comes to August, because it ruined last season and I don't want it to ruin next season.
And it would ruin it even worse if it's your quarterback, because the quarterback is the guy who absolutely is more important than any other player on your team. So you can't lose the deal and have it drag into the summer where he's not going to show up to voluntary workouts and mini camps and OTAs because you're trying to grind him for every last penny. And I'll add this, they also lost the Debo deal because you reworked his contract and then you ended up trading him anyway. You would have been better off trading him last year and not giving him a reworked contract and just taking the hit back then and just going all in on Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I don't know that the reworking, and like I know we're all trying to learn on the fly constantly whenever there's anything financial in the NFL, and so I don't want to spend too much time trying to explain it over the radio because I'm no expert on it either. I don't think the reworking ends up really biting them in the butt all that much. And this cap hit that everyone's worried about was going to happen anyway. It was just going to happen over 2 years, and now it happens this year, and they got a bunch of cap space. So again, I hear you. I don't know if it bites them, but it did create more cash flow that they're now saying they would like to lessen. So I'm with you. The bottom line on this is that I think there were a lot of things that got messed up last summer, and some we knew about as they were happening, and some we didn't. And so, yeah, there's a lot of rebooting to do, but I go back to my original point. It's jarring. You can sit here and say all you want, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But until it happens, I don't think it really fully hits you. And the fact that Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
Like boombox.
He's a commander.
Yeah,
gone.
Boombox guy.
Right.
Is not on the team anymore. I don't know, man. It feels like I don't know if I want to use the phrase new era, but it's going to be a different ball game around 49er camp starting this fall.
Yeah, it will be, but I think that the way this past year went makes it a little bit easier for fans to stomach it, because he did not have a perfect year by any stretch. He had a little bit of a down year, and he fought with the long snapper and the kicker, and you know, he had moments that were less than glowing, and so I think that more and more fans are okay with the reality that he's going to be moving on to another team.
All right, we're right here at Chase Center after our big day. Knockout 95-7, the game style was an absolute blast. And now we're leading into Warrior basketball, which is only, half hour away till Warriors Live, hour and a half away until we get to tip off. Until then, though, we'd love to hear from you, and we'll take your calls right now. Debo Samuel's a commander. How did it hit you? How did that sort of emotionally land with you once it became a reality over the weekend? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take your calls on that. And then just a side little special invitation to anybody who was in the building today. If you're now listening to the station and you were here, if you want to give us a call and kind of reminisce about the day and let us know how it felt through your eyes, we'd love that as well. We're sponsored by Safeway, and this is Willard and Dibs.
Libs.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
We got fresh slates.
We got some fresh slates.
We do.
Up in here?
We're going to go to the phones here in just a second. Willard and Dibs out here, Chase Center. Looking at the new Valkyries gear, by the way.
Love it.
That's staring at us right here on the big screen.
And we also are watching live as they take apart the court. I know they got a concert, I think, tomorrow night. So they're doing the changeover. They left the court intact for us, which is kind of cool.
I don't even understand it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know what else I found out? And this is stupid little stuff, but if you really want to know about the inner workings of a professional sports team, you don't get a whole lot of this. The listeners who came and played today also got parking.
Like they did?
I saw multiple parks in the, like, and I know you might be listening being like, duh, do you know how hard that is?
That's incredibly hard.
There are events that we do down here where they don't give us parking.
That's a fact.
This is San Francisco, California. The point is, once again, this organization is just so damn classy.
Chef's kiss.
So damn
first
classy.
First class, yep,
and
no doubt.
Matt Nahegan started the whole day off by talking about how there's no better partner to a radio station in the world of sports than the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
So, very, very cool. And speaking of those Warriors with fresh slates, Jimmy Butler and Quentin Post are in tonight. That is official. They'll be playing basketball, and that's good because the Warriors don't win without Jimmy Butler.
Apparently, yeah. What are they, 7-1 since he came and 0-1 since he has been a Warrior and not played? And so that becomes kind of a big thing when you've got Jimmy Butler and, you know, Guru was mentioning it, and you and I talked about it last week, what he does for the others, Moses Moody, Quentin Post, who is now playing, Brandon Pajemski. He makes everybody around him better. So when Jimmy's back and he's playing, and hopefully his back is okay, and this is not an on-again, off-again thing, but I look for big things tonight then.
Yeah, I'm with you, and especially in a reaction to what happened on Saturday, which, you know, provided that they play good basketball over the next 28 hours, they're going to have two basketball games. I'm not saying they necessarily have to win them both. Tomorrow is hard, but you have to win tonight. You got to show out tomorrow and see if you can steal one there. But you know, I'm willing to brush my shoulder off on Saturday, provided that they come out in a get right game and look like the team we've come to expect tonight. And with Jimmy Butler back on the floor, I would certainly expect that. So 888-957-9570. How'd it hit you? When you saw that Deebo Samuel is going to play with the Commanders, and oh, by the way, have you thought about it from that angle for a second yet? Deebo on the Commanders?
Yeah.
Look out.
Yeah.
Look out.
Well,
that team is, they were already someone to be reckoned with.
They're good, but I don't think that Deebo is the same player that he was a few years ago. And you and I talked about whether or not he had lost a step, and I thought that he had. And then you saw a couple of big kick returns, and it looked like he had his top speed back. But, you know, Deebo coming up on being 30 in an offense where, you know, you have other weapons. I don't think that it's going to come back to haunt you, the fact that Debo's not here anymore.
888-957-9570. Let's go to John in Alaska, which I did not have on my bingo card for our first call today.
Yeah, wow.
Here we are. Hi, John. What's going on?
Hey, not much, guys. Yeah, I mean, I know I'm from Alaska, but I'm a huge Niner fan. Been down there multiple times for games, so I listen to you guys in the afternoons all the time.
Beautiful. Well, thank you much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm out on Deebo. I was out on Deebo after this past year. I mean, I'm thankful for all he did and everything because 2021 was special. But, I mean, he objectively was just, I did not think he was very good last year. I mean, this past year. He looked overweight. He dropped. His drops were bad. I mean, I was at the Rams game where he dropped that would-be go-in walk-in touchdown. The crowd was booing him. And so, I mean, I hope he does well. I mean, but I think it was time for him to go. It was best for both sides, to be honest. I think Shanahan also relied on him too much.
John, I'll tell you this, and this is just my, this is not a report, this is my read on the situation, but I've chuckled a little bit to myself, and John, thank you very much, chuckled to myself, Dibs, a little bit each time when I hear the Niners say, Debo has requested a trade, and we're going to honor that. And people will head out into the world with like, well, Debo requested a trade, so you had to trade him. No, you didn't. Debo Samuel requested a trade 2 years ago, and they did 2 years ago what they would have done this time if the 49ers didn't want to trade Debo. But yes, the Niners wanted to trade Debo too. They feel, I don't know if it's all like he's washed, he's lost a step, or if it's just, hey, this contract is now too weighty, it doesn't pair with Brandon well. There could be a bunch of different reasons, but the 49ers absolutely are totally okay with the idea of Debo not being on their team, or else they wouldn't have done this.
Exactly, and they thought about this last year in the draft when they drafted Ricky Pearsall. You don't draft a wide receiver in the first round with your top pick unless you're already thinking about, all right, maybe the Brandon thing doesn't work out. If we sign Brandon, well, we'll see how Debo does. And if we don't make the Super Bowl, if we don't win the Super Bowl, then it becomes an easy choice. You sign Brandon, younger, a better receiver. Debo's a better football player, but Brandon's a better receiver. So you draft Ricky Pearsall, and you think, all right, if we didn't miss on this pick, and it looks like they didn't, he was starting to show really good signs in the second half.
Yep.
So now you've got a new receiver on a first-round contract, which means you've got 4 years plus a fifth-year option, a much more controllable number. So either Debo or Ayuk has to go, and maybe both will end up going.
Maybe.
Although, you know, we've heard a lot of talk about Ayuk maybe being traded now. I don't know if it's a tradable player based on his injury. He tore two ligaments in his knee, and, you know, you won't know if you're the accepting team. Like, if you do trade for Brandon Ayuk, he's not going to pass a physical until September or October, so you're basically trading for a guy who you know is injured.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think that obviously makes it very, very difficult. The contract and the injury would have me guess that Brandon Ayuk is not going to go anywhere, but if somebody is still very excited about him, like the Steelers were last offseason or whatever, yeah, the Niners would probably look at it, because I think in a perfect world, the Niners don't want to lose both of those guys, but the Debo situation became unworkable, so he moves on. And the Brandon thing to me is a little bit more sour grapes. Like, there's a little more acrimony on this one. Like, we're starting to really hear the buzz that there are a lot of people in the Niners organization who are still really regretful, really ticked off at the way this one went down. Partially at Brandon, partially at themselves for making the decisions they did. So if you see a trade of Brandon Ayuk, I do think there's a little bit more kind of you-know-what behind it.
Yeah.
Because this is just not, this has not worked out to be someone that they want to be associated with anymore based on what got them here and the numbers that are involved.
Right, but that makes their contract that they agreed to do with Brandon Ayuk even worse, because if they felt that way throughout this entire process, well, then you probably should have traded him instead of having him get paid. And I know him getting hurt is not something that they could have controlled, but you weren't happy with the process, and yet you signed him anyway. And because you signed him, then, and you drafted Ricky Pearsall before that, and then now you trade Debo Samuel, it feels like you're just chasing your mistake with more bad decisions, potentially.
One other Warriors note, and then we're going to go back to the phones, which is that Steve Kerr has also mentioned that there will be no load management in this back-to-back.
Okay.
Quote, Steph's in a great place. Steph Curry, both nights.
All right. Two nights of Steph. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, well, yeah, you're going to need him. I don't know if you watched him last Thursday night, but he's pretty good. Pretty good little player.
Good little player. Yeah. And I do think that, you know, you go from bilateral knee tendonitis to now he's playing back-to-backs, and I'm not trying to be like radio doctor, but that tells me that he got some of the good injections in there, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not illegal.
No.
I get cortisone every 6 months for my knees because I need it to just live.
I would imagine that most athletes who are playing beyond their 35th birthday are doing all kinds of things on a night-in and night-out basis to be out there. Let's go to Manroop in San Jose. Hey, Manroop, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, man, I was part of the contest earlier. Thank you, guys.
Nice.
Oh, man, thanks for being out here. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I just got to say there was not free parking.
Okay, that's my bad. My bad if I made it sound like that. But you did come in the building, right?
Yeah. I came in. I was the one in the Clay Thompson jersey. I fumbled eliminating Bonte.
Oh, nice.
You were the one who eliminated Bonte?
No, I fumbled it. But he ended up getting eliminated right away.
I do actually remember that. I remember that. All right. So your wallet was a little bit lighter, but you still got to park where the players park. Like, that's usually completely locked off. But my bad if I made it sound otherwise.
No, it's all good. I'm not tripping. I just wanted to say the parking wasn't free. I paid by the meter, so it wasn't too bad.
Okay.
But, yeah. No, thank you guys. It was really fun, man.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming down and do it again next year as the world tries to take down Mark Grandy one more time.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Please. And Willard, you're a legend, bro, in the Bay. You've been doing this mad long, like literally forever since I was a kid. So appreciate you, bro.
Well, thank you for calling, man. Great to hear from you. Great day out here. A lot of us were talking about it down there. Obviously, I don't know what other radio stations in other cities are doing. I don't really know of anything like this. And it's fun. It's fun to see. I mean, hell, it's not even just about the listeners. Us too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just different. It's different when you get to suddenly be down there on the Warriors court.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. And, you know, you look up at the gigantic screen above, and it's, you know, welcome Odyssey for the second annual knockout contest. We had all the graphics throughout the building were for us. And so, like our boss, Matt Nahegan, was saying, like, no other organization goes to any length, let alone this length, to take care of their radio partner. I mean, you let us have the court for about 3 hours. You did full graphics throughout the building.
Yep.
And, you know, every single employee that I encountered, to a man, to a woman, was welcoming, friendly, and happy that we were here to do that.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, and we got a Warrior game coming up here in just over an hour. We've got Warriors Live coming up in about 15 minutes. Glad you're with us here on Willard and Dibbs. 888-957-9570 is the number. And just chatting out the Debo Samuel situation, which I have to admit, in seeing that come across the phone on Saturday late afternoon, it was jarring. It was a little much. Let's go to Chris in Tahoe. Hi, Chris.
Hey. I was wondering what you guys thought about Kumonga. You thought he could be the face of the franchise soon.
Jonathan Kuminga, face of the franchise? Well, two things. First of all, Christopher, you may or may not know, like, there's been this big discussion about face of the league. And LeBron James had some comments late last week that I think rubbed some people, self included, the wrong way, where he basically was like, nobody wants that role anymore because all the media does is bleep on us all day long. And it's like, really, dude?
I kind of liked what he had to say.
How come?
Because he's not wrong. Like, no matter what they do, it feels like when you put yourself out there, the majority of the commentary on social media is negative.
The commentary on social media, but here's what I would say right away. This idea of if you're the face of the league, all anyone does is bleep on you. LeBron, you are the co-face of the league with a guy named Steph Curry. Ever heard anybody bleep on Steph?
No, not really.
Okay, so it's like, to me, that takes apart the whole narrative.
Well, Steph's not out there like LeBron is, though, on social media. Steph doesn't do a lot of social media. LeBron is much more present on social media than Steph is.
LeBron tweets more, but I would argue Steph is absolutely just as much out there. He and his wife are celebrities all over social media. They're doing things, digital content. He's got shows, that putt-putt show. Like, yep. He does all kinds of stuff. Steph's not hiding from anyone. And they've both been absolutely amazing at handling the job. I just think if you really think that everyone's just bleeping on you all the time, you're only paying attention to the negative.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, these two, you're going to tell me that LeBron and Steph don't get love? Oh, good Lord. And their cup should be runneth over. And the other part of his statement that I didn't like is LeBron goes, at one point he said, I didn't ask for this. You didn't? You nicknamed yourself the Chosen One.
Well, you had an hour-long special to announce your next destination.
Thank you. You completely asked for this. So anyway, but the smaller point when you ask about Jonathan Kuminga, so there's two sides to it. There's what we're just talking about there. Can you handle that responsibility? And then does your play measure up? We're still so early in Jonathan Kuminga's career. He's still such a young player at 22. But do I see future All-Star face of the Golden
State
Warriors?
Of the franchise, yeah.
That's tough.
No, the answer.
Yeah, I can't say I see it yet.
No.
With an openness that I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No, maybe, of course
maybe
not.
Maybe something else develops out of this.
If he turns into the kind of player that is a best player on a team that is a perennial playoff team and a team that is a real contender, then yeah, you can become the face of that franchise. But like Jordan Poole, is he the face of the Washington Wizards right now?
I don't know if they have a face.
Right, that's the point. Yeah. Is when you're not very good, you can be the best player on a team that's not very good, and I guess essentially you are the face of that franchise, but it doesn't really matter. Like today, we're going to have LaMelo Ball. He's the face of the Charlotte organization. He's the face of that franchise, and they're going to go out there and probably lose by 15 or more. The spread's 13.5. So, yeah.
Do you promise it's going to be 15 or more?
Oh, yeah. So. They're going to get hammered tonight. They're going to get throttled.
Okay.
I would lay 20 tonight if I was a betting man.
Well, that's the end of that. So I was going to bet the Warriors.
Oh, because we're fading the Denver now.
No, it just makes me nervous. It makes me nervous. That's fair.
I'll give you my college locks, too. North Texas -7 tonight.
Every time you and I sit there and talk about your college locks, you tell me you're losing.
No.
Yeah, when we sit there in the show and we're watching the East Coast games, you're always like, I need Drexel. I've got North Dakota State plus 24. On a hook, and they're already down 30, and it's the first half.
There's a couple of bad ones.
Am I supposed to trust you?
You don't have to. I mean, I win more than I lose.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Especially in the horses. Hit another little trifecta.
I'm not talking about
animals
horses.
Riding other animals. I'm your guy. Bethune-Cookman tonight laying the 5.
Bethune-Cookman.
We like Bethune-Cookman.
They're laying 5?
Oh,
who the hell is Bethune favored against?
Dude, the Cooks?
Yes.
The Cookman?
You don't even know who they're playing.
I'll have to look it up. I made this bet hours ago.
Oh, my God.
We also like Houston against Kansas. We're going to lay the 9.5.
Well, Houston's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I know that.
They're good.
He's one of the best teams in the country.
Bethune-Cookman hosting Grambling.
Oh, Grambling.
In a swack showdown.
I'm not betting against Grambling. Okay. I refuse. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Line's down to 4.5. Money coming in on Grambling.
Warriors are favored by 13 and a hook tonight?
Yep. Oof. Lay the number.
That's a lot of points.
It is, but Charlotte is terrible.
Yeah, well, they're the worst team in the league.
Yep.
For my money, just by my eye, watching basketball this year, that's the worst team in the NBA. So, you know, look, the Warriors are, in a way, not up against it. You remember the conversation that we had last week with regard to this road trip, and I thought 4-1 was a par. I don't know if you can really think that way anymore. Like, they're going to be hard-pressed to get 2 wins in the next 30 hours. It's doable, and absolutely they could still go 4-1, but I think that Saturday serves as a reminder that this is the NBA on the road. You don't just uncork a 10-game win streak because you want to and you feel like you're the better team. Like, this stuff is quirky and guys get hot and all of that, and I didn't come out of that with any concern. I don't know, man. I like to then turn around the very next night and lay close to 14 points on the road, that's a big number.
It's a big number, but like you were talking about, that team you're playing is not very good, and you could have beaten them by 60 when you played them here a couple of weeks ago at Chase Center.
That's true.
You know, they absolutely pummeled them, and they were in second gear the majority of the time, and I do think the bounce-back spot of tonight is also an indicator, because you definitely want to come back, and you want to have a better performance than you did the other night against Philadelphia, and so you come out, and you've got everybody except Kuminga. I do think you put it on Charlotte early and often, and you try to give a lot of your veterans some rest.
Let me ask you this, based on the start of this road trip, because to me, what has been defined in these first two games is this, that when Jimmy Butler is either not playing or not at his best, the Warriors go right back to looking the way that they did before. You know, I know it was super fun to win in Orlando, and I made a big deal about take the Warriors -4.5, and they covered.
Barely.
They covered by 6. But I like you watch that game, and I don't even know if, did you see after the game, because the Warriors posted it on digital, Steve Kerr addressing the team when he got back to the locker room, and everybody's kind of sitting in a circle, and everybody's looking at Steph, and it's just like applause. They're just like, we don't even know what to do with you, man. That was such an unbelievable performance. But you come out of there, and you go, dude, like, that's what it takes to win an NBA game against a mediocre team on the road when Jimmy Butler is not at his best, because Butler had 5 points, did not look right. Then clearly right after the game, they're like, yeah, he's not right and probably not going to play on Saturday. And then they come out on Saturday and they were outplayed. They didn't just lose the game. Like, they're outplayed for the entire night in Philadelphia. So when you see the road trip start that way, it gives me the PTSD of what the Warriors look like before the trade deadline. And that's scary. That's scary because all these guys are over 35 years old, and I expect them to miss more games.
Right, and even when they don't miss games, you can't expect them to come out and play at their absolute best night in and night out. The thing that troubled me the most about the Saturday game against Philly is the fact that there's another guy, Quentin Grimes. He put 44 on you, so you have a hard time, and Evan was making this point earlier, that you're having a hard time stopping players on the other team, and players are able to get onto a certain role, and Quentin Grimes is a guy who no one will mistake for Kyrie Irving, but you had Kyrie, you had Banchero, and then tonight you think about LaMelo Ball, a guy who can put 30 or 40 on you in a hurry.
Sure.
So it's been the pattern of individual players really giving you the business, I think, is the thing that troubled me the most.
I mean, I can't refute that, but it's funny because since Jimmy Butler arrived, the Warriors' defensive rating is excellent. It's excellent.
Yeah.
So are you a good defensive team or are you not a good defensive team based on what we're seeing right now?
Well, they weren't on Saturday and Jimmy wasn't there.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes, and Grimes is that's an offshoot because I mean, most people don't even know who that is.
18 of 24.
I mean.
Have a night.
Yeah, when you see a top-level NBA offensive player, Kyrie Irving or Paolo Banchero, when you see those guys go off like that, I usually go, there's not a whole lot you can do to stop them. You can make it hard on them, but if those guys are making shots, then they're making shots. And if that lasts all four quarters, then it lasts all four quarters. You gotta kind of batten down the hatches on the rest of the guys, which for the most part they did. The Grimes one, I don't know what to do with, but I'm not of the mind right now that suddenly the Warriors are not doing what they need to do on defense. They've been good.
They have been good. I mean, Saturday night was one of those nights where maybe you took Philadelphia too lightly because you had no Embiid, and Maxey wasn't really much of a factor early in that game. He wound up with 5 points on 2 of 14. If you would tell me that there's no Embiid, Maxey goes 2 of 14, are you going to win that game? Absolutely you should win that game, but they didn't.
We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube, which is extra fun today because you can actually take a little look at what the Warrior broadcast booth looks like. We're in the Tim Roy spot right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and right next door from where Fitz and Buki do their thing. So hop on over to YouTube and you can check that out. And Warriors Live is moments away. Twitch.tv/957TheGame. YouTube.com/957TheGame. We invite you to subscribe to the channel. Like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We are also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. And here we go. We're also here for the Warriors game. It's the Magic and the Warriors an hour away. And Warriors Live is next.